Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live, Saturdays from 9 to noon on Vancouver Cooperative Radio 102.7 FM in BC, Canada. For more information, check out www.vcn.bc.ca/redeye. Here's Jane Williams.
On Tuesday last week, a cross-country skier in Banff National Park was attacked and killed by a cougar. The same day, two dogs, one with its owner, were also threatened by a different cougar in the Banff town site. These attacks have brought mainstream media attention to the long-standing debate about the impact of development and human activity in our national parks. Mike McIver has been involved in that debate for over 30 years. He is a longtime resident of Banff and president of the Bow Valley Naturalists, a local natural history and conservation group. And he joins me on the phone this morning from Banff. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Jane.
Now, let's start, first of all, with the cougar attacks. Do you know why cougar activity has increased in recent weeks?
The short answer is no, and particularly not out where the young woman was killed. I mean, really all we know about that is that one afternoon 4 days ago, a young woman, cross-country skier, and a male cougar were in the same place at the same time, and before the afternoon was over, they were both dead, and that's too bad. The other incidents that occurred in the town of Banff, or at least on the edges of it, are hard to explain. Certainly there is a lot of cougar food, that is elk and deer, that spend most of their lives inside the town of Banff, and no doubt they present a tempting target for cougars. But why now? I don't think anybody really knows.
Apparently there's a wolf pack which is also living quite close into Banff that may represent competition. That's one of the theories I heard.
That's one of the things that Parks Canada is thinking. There is a wolf pack that has established itself and is using parts of the Bow Valley near the town in ways that wolves in the past have not. This pack has shown itself to be much more willing to come close to where people are living, and they've certainly never had any contact with people, but they're putting a lot of pressure on, particularly on the elk, and the feeling on the part of some people is that that pressure is pushing the elk into town, keeping them in town, and if the cougars want to eat, they have to come into town after their prey.
Now, Banff Townsite has undergone tremendous development over the past 30 years. What's been the impact of that development on wildlife in the area?
Well, the impact of development generally in the park has been significant in a variety of ways. And I think one of the things that we often forget is that we look at Banff National Park and we think, boy, this is a huge place. And development, human activity, only occupies a very, very small percentage of that total area. The problem is, and this is true right around the world, the places in general, the places that are most attractive and most vital for other species are also the most attractive places for us. And so in Banff National Park, we have the town of Banff sitting right square on top of what has been recognized by grizzly bear researchers as the best grizzly bear habitat in Banff National Park. We have the Trans-Canada Highway running right through the heart, the ecological heart of Banff National Park. So we've had an impact both by taking over productive habitat, by fragmenting it with roads and a railway, and we've also, and it should also be mentioned, of course, that on those transportation corridors, we also contribute towards direct mortality of wildlife by running them down with our trucks and our cars and our trains, and then just our own activity, our intense desire to experience the natural world in the park represents a kind of intrusion into the increasingly small spaces that that wildlife is being driven.
For somebody who hasn't been to Banff or Lake Louise or Jasper in the summer, what is it like there?
Well, it's unfortunately places like the town of Banff, the area around Lake Louise, the town of Jasper, some of these places are really become an intensely urban or urbanized experience. There's congestion, there's noise, there's traffic, all of the things that I think are inimical or not compatible with the kind of experience that people should be deriving from national parks. And part of the reason, of course, is that many people are coming here for the wrong reasons, or they get here and they don't know how to find the kind of experience that they could be finding here, which I would suggest has more to do with an opportunity to experience something profoundly different from where they live. And for the majority of people who visit this park, where they live is an urban place. And so what parks should be providing is something very different from that, and an opportunity for people to experience the world, the natural world, to examine their own personal relationships to that world, and perhaps come away with a greater understanding of where we human beings belong in the world.
Now, Parks Canada has long had a reputation for being too pro-development in the minds of conservationists. Is that pro-development mindset on the part of Parks Canada showing signs of changing?
I believe it is showing signs of changing, and whether this is something that Parks Canada as an agency, as a bureaucracy, is coming to willingly, or whether it's something that's being imposed by a pretty overwhelming sense of where public opinion is on these issues, and then Parks Canada, of course, is having to follow the direction that has been established by Sheila Copps, the Minister of Canadian Heritage, who is responsible for national parks, and who has made it very clear that if national park legislation says that the first priority in national parks is to maintain or restore ecological integrity, then that's going to be what will happen in those parks, and development will have to take a back seat. So I think the corner has been turned. That certainly doesn't mean that we've seen an end to development. There will still be more development in the town of Banff. There will be more development in the Lake Louise area. There'll be more development in Jasper. There may be a little bit more development at some of the ski areas, and there will be more development at some of the places that are called outlying commercial accommodation. So anybody who's suggesting that there will be no further development in the mountain national parks is completely wrong.
Now, you mentioned Sheila Copps, and she's very central to this, and a couple of years ago she announced a freeze on development in all national parks to allow a federal panel to set permanent caps on growth in the parks. Did that happen?
No. The panel that she appointed, well, there have been two or three very important panels that have looked at issues over the last half dozen years. There was something known as the Banff Bow Valley Study, which spent 2 years and over $2 million looking at the ecological health of the Bow Valley in Banff National Park, and not surprisingly confirmed what many of us had been saying all along, which was that the Bow Valley in Banff National Park has some serious problems. More recently, the minister appointed a group of people to look at ecological integrity throughout the national park system, and they concluded that in fact virtually all national parks in Canada are under some degree of ecological stress, and they made a number of very, very worthwhile recommendations to deal with that. The minister, Ms. Copps, has accepted the sort of overall thrust of those recommendations, and we'll have to see whether, in fact, Parks Canada manages to follow through on them or not. I certainly hope that they do.
Now, she also pledged to strengthen the National Parks Act. Has that been done?
That has been done. The National Parks Act may have been the last piece of legislation to clear the House of Commons, the Senate, and to receive royal assent before the federal election. And although it still must be, there's still one more hoop it must go through, I don't think there's any question that that will happen. It must be declared by the government. But the new act will provide even clearer direction in terms of what the priority must be for park managers, and that is to manage for ecological integrity. It does not, by any stretch of the imagination, take away from the importance of national parks as places for unique and special and worthy human experience. So the national parks are still seen as a place that are intended to be used by people, but this the new act will make it very, very clear that where conflicts arise between human use and the ecological health of the landscape, that there is very clear direction as to how managers must react, and their first priority must be to protect the ecological health of these wonderful landscapes.
Now, your group, the Bow Valley Naturalists and the Bear Society, are involved in a court challenge of Parks Canada's approval of a 7-story convention center on the shores of Lake Louise. How did such a huge project get approved in an area which is already overloaded with development?
Well, I can't answer that question except to say that Canadian Pacific is one of the largest corporations in the country, and I presume has a considerable amount of political clout. Some recent polls have indicated, even polls done in Alberta, which I think is usually considered to be sort of a hotbed of right-wing thinking and pro-development views on the universe, there's little public support for this convention center. Unfortunately, it was approved, and those of us who had gone through the entire process, and this was something that was that had been in the works for several years, realized that once the approval had done, that we had done all that we could to that point, and we finally decided that there was really only one more thing that we could do, and maybe it was a long shot, but we felt so strongly about it that for the first time in our history as an organization, we went to court to try to stop a development. And in fact, just before Christmas, we lost when the case first went to court. We lost on that occasion. We chose to appeal that decision, and on December 4th, in the Federal Court of Appeal in Vancouver, the appeal was heard, and we're still waiting for the results of that.
Now, I know that on the same day that you were here in Vancouver with that appeal, the Fraser Institute released a report called Off Limits, How Radical Environmentalists Are Shutting Down Canada's National Parks, and they're saying that Parks Canada has been taken over by people such as yourself. What's your response to that?
Well, I think this report will have great appeal to people who still believe that the Earth is flat, that there are no limits, that the most important thing in the world is the creation of personal wealth. But I think anybody who first of all knows anything about national parks will realize that the report is riddled with ideological polemic, inconsistencies, factual errors, and I'm being polite when I say that, and a complete misreading of the values of national parks, the history of national parks, and the kinds of ideas and ideals that are associated with national parks. And I think, I think the authors of this report and the Fraser Institute are completely out of touch with the Canadian public as far as national parks are concerned.
And I guess one of the things that they accuse you of is saying that you want no people in the national parks.
Yeah, that's one of the typical charges against conservationists, is that apparently we hate people, or at least at the very least we like animals better than we like people. I have never met a conservationist who does not think that national parks are intended to be used by people. I've certainly met a lot of conservationists, and I include myself in their number, who think that there must be limits, and there must be limits on the that in other words, that not all people can experience the national park at the same time in the same way, and if in fact we don't respond to that, then what we end up with is a situation of continual growth of visitation, more and more development, and impacts in two ways. The first being impacts on the ecological integrity of the park, and secondly, we end up with what I consider to be very negative impacts on the quality of human experience as it relates to the national park. And from my point of view, it's worth fighting both to maintain ecological integrity and to maintain the quality of human experience that that should be available here. And you know, when you look at what the authors of the Fraser Institute report have to say, it's clear that they really don't understand that those are the really basic issues.
What do you suggest people do if they want to both inform themselves and have some input into the debate on the future of our national parks?
Well, I guess I can think of two or three things. You know, I don't know how many members of the Flat Earth Society we elected to Parliament this time. Unfortunately, we probably elected a few. I know our constituency did. But, you know, I think people should be talking to their members of Parliament and reminding them that they as constituents care very much about national parks, and whether or not they can visit them on a regular basis or not, they want them to be well taken care of, so that when they do have the opportunity to visit, it will be an experience that they will treasure. There would be other ways to become involved through organizations, and I would one group I would mention would be the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society. There is a British Columbia chapter of that group. They are dealing with park issues in BC, and they're connected to the national organization of CPAWS. They have a website. I'm sorry, I don't know it offhand. And they periodically put out a newsletter. So there are a variety of ways of learning about issues. Parks Canada makes a genuine attempt to involve the public in planning, whether it's developing management plans for parks or dealing with specific issues. And, you know, I would suggest writing the Minister of Canadian Heritage and perhaps not only telling her that how much you care about national parks, but also requesting to be put on a mailing list so that people can be kept informed about projects and issues that arise in national parks.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I actually have the website for CPAWS, so I'll let people know that. Thanks very much, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
Mike McIver is president of the Bow Valley Naturalists and a longtime resident of Banff. And if you'd like to get some more information about the challenges facing our national park system, you can check out the website of the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society, and their address is www.cpaws.org.
Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live Saturdays from 9 to noon on Vancouver Cooperative Radio 102.7 FM in BC, Canada. For more information, check out www.vcn.bc.ca/redeye.